Welcome to the Equipping You in Grace podcast, hosted by Dave Jenkins. The Equipping You in Grace podcast is a podcast about helping Christians develop a biblical worldview in a conversational tone about issues inside and outside the church. Now, for today's episode, let's join our host, Dave Jenkins.
Welcome back to the Equipping You in Grace podcast. My name is Dave, and I'm the host for this podcast. And with me today, I have Carolyn. Carolyn, welcome to the Equipping You in Grace podcast.
Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, it's great. It's great to have you. Well, can you tell us about your life, your marriage, your ministry, and what or any ministry projects you're working on?
Yeah, sure. So I'm married to Richard, and we live in Worcester, which is just in the middle of England in the UK. I've got two teenage kids. They are 18 and 16. And my husband, he is the lead pastor of our church. We've been here about 15 years now. And so really, I just serve alongside him, mainly getting alongside women in the church who've got different things going on. I also lead the women's ministry and the music ministry here. And in normal life, I would do a bit of Bible teaching at conferences and events for women and stuff. But in the UK, we're still in lockdown. So that's been a bit different this year. But I've mainly been focusing on doing some online content for the women in our church, Bible studies and things like that. But just starting to think about teaching again live in the autumn. So I'm currently trying to work on some conference talks on the Book of Jude.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, great to learn a little bit about you. Can you just tell us about your new book, Extraordinary Hospitality for Ordinary People, Seven Ways to Welcome Like Jesus, why you wrote it and how you hope it'll be received?
Yeah, so a couple of things happened really before I thought about writing a book. I was teaching on the qualifications for church leaders, one of which is that he should be hospitable. And it really struck me that in the churches and spaces that I'd been part of, that had really just been translated as his wife, if he has one, must be good at having loads of people around for dinner. And I was thinking that the Apostle Paul must have surely meant more than that. And at the same time, I found myself having conversations with friends from church who were struggling with hospitality and feeling quite burdened and guilty because they didn't feel able to offer hospitality in the way we would traditionally understand it. So having lots of people around for dinner on a Sunday. Some of them just had living circumstances that made that difficult, and others were struggling with mental health issues and other weaknesses that made that really tricky for them. And so I really wanted to think about hospitality more broadly and see if we could offer a model that was more rooted in God's character rather than simply that traditional model. And so in the book, I look to explore some characteristics of welcome that we see in God and just think about how we can start to image that him in those, how we can reflect his welcome in our own. And so I guess I'm hoping really to relieve some of the burden that people may feel about hospitality and encourage them that they can learn to welcome like Jesus, even if they're not great at cooking or having lots of people around their house. So yeah, just to try and clear up some of those misconceptions about hospitality, but also really wanted to excite people about the wonderful way in which God has welcomed us in the Lord Jesus. Just to really spend some time thinking about and exploring the wonder and the extraordinary hospitality he has shown us in the gospel. And I really hope that by doing that, that would actually be more motivating than a to-do list. But actually that as we look at the way he has welcomed us, our hearts would naturally be moved to want to respond and welcome others in the same way.
That's really good, yeah. And it's a really practical book. It's not only biblical, it's also very practical for the reason you said. And I think that's so important what you said about, you know, elders and hospitality, because I do think we take a cookie cutter approach to so many of these things. So it's good that you're trying to unravel that a bit for people, because we don't have to take a cookie cutter approach just because somebody likes to cook and somebody likes to, you know, make coffee or whatever that is, or you know, just having people over is enough there. You know, you don't have to have, you know, whatever, you know, it can just be you and a conversation, you know, and that's hospitality too. So
yeah.
Why should Christians be concerned with hospitality?
Well, I guess primarily because God is, and we should care about the things that God cares about. So that there's obviously in the New Testament the commands to be hospitable. There's 1 Peter 4:9, which is about offering hospitality without grumbling. Then another one in Romans 12, show hospitality to one another. But as well as those commands, really throughout Scripture, we see God's heart for welcoming people, and especially those who are often excluded and not welcomed elsewhere. Even in the law, the Israelites were given instructions how they should welcome the foreigner and the stranger and those who are vulnerable among them. And so because God cares about welcome and God cares about hospitality, then we must too.
Yeah, that's really good. Really good. What are some practices personally that you found helpful in engaging in hospitality?
I think more recently I've found it helpful to stop and think who most needs my welcome. So it's really easy to focus on friends or people I find easy. I don't find it especially difficult to cook, so it can be fun for me to have a crowd of friends around for a meal. But I've been trying to think who most needs welcome, who would most benefit, those who are lonely or those who are struggling in difficult circumstances, and perhaps those that no one else might think of. And so that's been helping me. And actually through lockdown, that's been a helpful thing to think about. I mean, we're still really in lockdown in the UK, but we had a few months last year where we were allowed to have up to 6 people in our homes if we were distanced. And there's 4 of us in our family and we haven't got loads of space. So really it meant just inviting one person at a time. And actually that was really good to stop and think about single friends or friends who are married to unbelievers and just might appreciate coming round to chat about the Lord and for some spiritual encouragement. And so that's the thing I found most helpful, is stopping to think who would most benefit. But then also, I suppose, just on a practical level, keeping it simple, not exhausting myself by going over the top with fancy food or making everything perfect, but keeping it simple so that we can focus on our guests and focus on conversation. And also linked to that, really, accepting help. You know, it's really tempting, isn't it, when people are coming round and they say, oh, what can I do? What can I bring? And we all want to be polite and say, oh, no, it's fine, I've got it all. But actually, that doesn't help me because I don't have it all together all of the time. But it also communicates that I don't need or value your help. And I'm not sure that's great either. So I think accepting help and letting others get involved is something that I've really learned to do as well.
Yeah, and that invites more conversation. It's like, oh,
yeah,
that person doesn't have it all together.
Yeah.
Oh, so look, you know, we can actually talk because they're Christian. Like, I played golf the other day, and I didn't even tell them, like, I'm a Christian or anything or anything. I would just usually tell people, oh, I write and I do this and that. Mm-hmm. And they're like, so, like, later on, I'm like, what do you write? And I told them, like, oh, that's really cool. I'm like, yeah, and you know what? You could be a Christian and be a well-adjusted individual. Because
yeah,
some people think, you know, oh, you're a Christian, you're just, you know, a Bible thumper. And they laughed and they thought that was funny. But to your point, it's just like, hey, you don't have to have it all together. And then it just invites, you know, breaks down stereotypes, and being intentional about that is really good. So,
yeah.
What role does hospitality play in your ministry in the local church?
Well, it's been really interesting to think about that through lockdown, because obviously the practices of hospitality have been quite different. But I think that the principles have been the same. And that's that I want to seek to show the same warm and indiscriminate welcome to others that God has shown me. And so really looking to make sure that people are included, whether that's in conversations or being invited to Bible studies or events that are happening. I think, again, trying to notice those who other people might not notice, those, you know, who are just a bit awkward or a little bit on the fringe of things and need drawing in. I try and keep some margin in my week just so that I can follow up with a text or phone call, perhaps a conversation that I've had on Sunday, or that I've got maybe a bit of space in the diary to invite someone around for a coffee or a walk, or just to play a game with my family, if that's what someone will need. And I think one of the things we really liked doing as a family before COVID was before a prayer meeting or a Bible study, just to invite someone in to share a simple meal with us. Really nothing fancy, because it would often be quick, especially if they were rushing from work. But yeah, just to have those informal times where people can just come and relax and offload about their day and know that they're welcome and wanted in our lives. So yeah, it looks different much of the time, but I think the principles are communicating that people are welcome and wanted and valued.
Yeah, that's really, really good. Really good. What are some ways that Christians can offer compassion and genuine hospitality to others?
Yeah, so I write about this a bit in the book, about this compassionate welcome that God has shown us. I think one thing we can do is to avoid favoritism in the way we welcome others. And so it's really easy, isn't it, to focus on people we know well, or people who are like us and that we find quite easy to spend time with. But I think to look wider than that, of course we want to spend time with friends and those we know well, but also to look wider, and particularly for those who might be overlooked by others. And so one thing we can do maybe on a Sunday is to look around and think, who is the person who is unlikely to receive a call or a text or a dinner invitation this week? And I think that's probably the person that God wants me to welcome. And then I think another thing is to be willing to move towards need. So many people walk away from need, but we can be different. We can walk toward need. And so one thing I encourage in the book is that we would take a walk or a drive around our neighborhood and just pray that God would open our eyes to need and give us a heart that wants to respond to it. And then to try and think of specific ways that we can show compassion to our neighbors. It might be practical things, you know, offering lifts or providing meals, doing jobs in the home, or it might just be giving them a hug when they look sad, or taking the time to stop and talk and show interest in lives. And I think we can do that in the workplace as well. You know, we can be the people that initiate conversation and who genuinely show interest in our colleagues, you know, to find out about their circumstances and their struggles and their family situations, and remember to follow up on those conversations. And I think just communicate that we don't mind being interrupted, and that we want to be involved in people's lives. And I mean, there's a cost to that. You know, I'm kind of trying to point out in the book that hospitality doesn't have to be burdensome and overwhelming in perhaps the traditional way, but there is a cost, isn't there, when we go outside of our comfort zone and seek to show compassionate welcome. But I think we can, you know, we can look back at the cross and just see the way that God has so compassionately welcomed us in Christ, and really ask him to give us the same compassion towards our neighbours, those we know well and those we don't, those in the church family and those around us.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah, I mean, what you said is so good. Praying for those who are around us in our neighborhood, asking God, hey, what's happening? You know, there's people, hurting people and struggling people. Mm-hmm. I think that's a prayer God will always answer. He'll always, you know, if you're asking God, hey, show me the needs. I mean, where is the needs? I mean, Jesus says that the harvest is, you know, white for harvest. It's wide open. Hello. Mm-hmm. So if you're praying like that and you're a Christian and you're asking God to use you, you know, to minister to people that are all around you that are hurting and struggling. And you know, I think one thing that we're so tempted to do, right, is to be that person that'll answer every question they have. But sometimes just being that presence for them,
yeah,
and just listening to them is just as effective. I mean, I'm not saying that you never have to say words. We have to say words. You know, we have content to the message. But just being that presence to that person can be such a ministry to them, mm-hmm, and not feeling like you have have to share, you know, anything in that moment, just listening to them. So many people are overburdened and they're really struggling, but they don't even know how to go about it and just go about even sharing their hurts and their struggles. And so what you said is just so good. And you're praying, God, use me in that moment. God, show me your need. Show me what's happening. Show me how people around me are, you know, hurting or struggling. There'll be opportunities. I promise, if you're going to pray like that, to be used by God. So.
Yeah, but I think we don't have to be overwhelmed. Like, you don't have to meet every single need. And it's easy to think, oh, I don't want to pray that because there must be 100 needs in my road. And what will I, you know, how will I meet them all? But I don't think we have to be overwhelmed by the scale of need. We can pray and ask the Lord, where do I fit? And what are my particular circumstances and abilities and opportunities? And I think that's quite freeing, isn't it? That to not be responsible to fix everyone, like you're saying, but to listen and to also listen to the Spirit's prompting and move out where we can and show compassion and show welcome and care as we have opportunity.
Yeah, that's good. What advice do you have for those wanting to get involved in hospitality, others but aren't sure how to start?
That's such a good question. I think, again, let's start with prayer. So again, pray that God would show you who needs your welcome, and your welcome in particular. And, you know, we do have different gifts, we have different personalities, and we're therefore able to reach others in different ways. So I think start with prayer. You know, who in church or work or my neighbourhood most needs welcome? And then again, think about what it would look like to offer welcome specifically to that person. Because there isn't, like you were saying earlier, there isn't a one size fits all. Hospitality doesn't have to look the same way, regardless of who we're welcoming. People have got different needs. And we can seek to welcome in different ways. So think about whether for some it might be a meal, for others it might be a walk or a coffee, or committing to make a phone call once a week, or maybe offering to sit with someone in church, or even meet them and go into church with them so that they're not alone. So trying to think about a specific way to welcome an individual. And then I think, again, keeping it simple. I mean, even if you're having someone over for a meal, don't be afraid just to order in pizza or invite them to just have a cake or ice cream or something in the garden or in the park. And then I guess if you're someone who feels a little bit nervous about conversation and just, you know, how will I look after this person for an hour or two, you know, maybe think of a few questions that you could ask to get to know someone a bit more, or think of things that you'd like to share with them, and maybe even spiritual things, what you've been reading in your devotions or what struck you from the sermon series. And so I think a little bit of thoughts and planning in advance can take a little bit of anxiety out of the moment, but start small and keep it simple and watch and see what the Lord does through it.
Yeah, that's really, really good. Really, really good. Yeah. And you know, at various times, I know, like, we've wanted to open our house. We had my sister-in-law living with us for 2 years, so we weren't able to open our house. So maybe that's you. You're listening. You're like, well, I can't do that necessarily. Well, you know, maybe you've already opened your house, you know, so you've already are providing welcome, you know, and just realizing that is good too. So, yeah.
I mean, we still in the UK, we're still not able to open our home. So again, just inviting someone to go for a walk for half an hour in the park, or, you know, something like simple like that.
Yeah. Are coffee shops open there?
No. Not yet. Soon.
That's brutal, man.
It is harsh.
That's really harsh. Wow. In what way is hospitality a tangible way of demonstrating humility?
Yeah. I mean, it really is, isn't it? I guess primarily because it's putting others before ourselves. It's choosing to focus on someone else's needs rather than what I want. It's a way of showing others that they're important, that their needs matter to us, that we value them. And I think that there is a vulnerability in that. We often worry about what people will think of us. You know, the kind of subtle form of pride. If I invite someone into my home, they might see that, yeah, I don't have it all together, and they might not think as well of me, or, you know, they might see that I don't parent my kids well. And so I think there's a vulnerability and a humility, but we need to be humble. We need to take our eyes off ourselves We need to put our eyes on those that we're seeking to welcome. And I think as well, it involves a willingness to serve in unseen ways and unglamorous ways. And most people aren't going to hear about it if I invite a widow over for coffee. And that's okay. That's a good thing, because the point isn't for me to be seen. It's to bless her. And I think we have a wonderful example of this in the Lord Jesus. He, in his earthly life and ministry, at times showed welcome in spectacular ways, in supernatural ways, but he also washed his disciples' feet. And he stooped to serve. And I think our humility in the way we welcome others is a reflection of his. It's an opportunity anyway to try and reflect him in that.
Yeah, that's really, really good. Really, really good. What role does hospitality have among church members in the local church?
Well, I guess we want to welcome and accept one another in the way that we've been welcomed by God in the Lord Jesus. We recognize that we are all undeserving recipients of his grace and his mercy. No one's more or less deserving than another. And I guess we want to seek to reflect that grace to one another and to those who join us. And so the church gathering should be inclusive. Everyone should feel welcome and wanted and included. No one should be able to come in and feel that I could never belong here. But I think our welcome of one another, our hospitality isn't limited to our interactions on a Sunday. We want to look for opportunities throughout the week to welcome each other into our lives. Those who either have been rejected by or don't have a good relationship with their family should find genuine family in the household of God and homes and places where they can relax and share. Those who are weak, those who are struggling, need encouragement, need people to come alongside them and keep pointing them to the truth of the gospel. And so although I've kind of made the point in the book that hospitality doesn't have to happen in the home, those of us who can open our homes to each other should. We don't want to retreat behind closed doors. We want to welcome people in. And I think part of that is not cramming our lives so full of other things that there isn't space to welcome the church family throughout the week. And so it's vital, really. It's how we show the gospel to others, I think.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good. But where can people go to find out more about your work online, on social media, otherwise?
Yeah, so generally I'm on Twitter. So I think it's Lacey_Carolyn. I'm on Instagram. I'm a bit new to Instagram, but I'm trying to get into it. And then I do have a blog. It's called A Better Country, and you can find it. I've been a bit quiet on the blog while I've been writing the book, just because all of my energies were going there. But I'll try and get a bit better at keeping up with that. That's
cool. Yeah, sounds good. Well, there's a lot that we haven't talked about this subject, because we could really, talk a lot about it. Just, do you have a few takeaways for us, Carolyn?
Yeah, sure. I'll give you a few. Well, I guess the big one, really, that I've wanted to communicate in the book is that God has shown us extraordinary welcome in the gospel, and he invites us not just to accept his welcome of us, but also to join him in welcoming others. And so our hospitality is a privilege, not a burden, when we see it like that. I guess another thing linked to that is remembering the goal of our hospitality. It's always to point to his. And so in what we do, whether it's in our home or elsewhere, we're not looking to show off our skills or our talents or our homes or our cooking or whatever it is. We're always looking to show off our Saviour. And so I think remembering the goal of hospitality is key. Linked to that again, I guess, focus on character rather than cooking. That is what is going to point to him. People aren't going to remember what they've had to eat with us, but they will remember the way in which we've welcomed. And so I think to focus more on who we're becoming rather than what we're doing. And then I guess one more I'll say is to try and keep an eternal perspective. And because although I'm talking about hospitality being perhaps less overwhelming and burdensome than it needs to be, there is a cost and it can be uncomfortable. But we can look ahead and we can anticipate our place at the eternal feast. We can anticipate those who might be there with us because we've taken time to welcome them in this life. And so I think when it does feel hard, when it does feel costly or uncomfortable, to keep that eternal perspective and focus on the joy that is ahead, as we realize fully what it means to be welcomed by God into his family.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well said. Well said. Well, guys, we've been, and ladies, guys generally, people, we've been talking with Carol and Lacey today. Yeah, I made that awkward for everybody. We've been talking today with Carol and Lacey about her new book, Extraordinary Hospitality for Ordinary People, 7 Ways to Welcome Like Jesus. And guys, I did endorse this book, so you know that if I endorsed it, it's a good book. And so thank you so much for your work today, work in the book and for the conversation. Carolyn, I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.
Oh, thanks, Dave. It's been really good to talk to you.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the Equipping You in Grace podcast. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe, rate us on the app, and share this with your friends and family on social media. If you want to find us on social media, you can find us on Twitter at Servants of Grace, on Instagram at Servants of Grace, or by searching at Servants of Grace on Facebook. You can also find this episode and many others like it on the front page of our website, servantsofgrace.org.